Welcome back
to Keeping It 50
with Cammie and Mai.
So how was your day, Camille?
My day was great, Myla. Thank you for asking. How was yours?
It was wonderful. You know, it's a warm day outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2:10 p.m. on June 7th, I think.
June 7th.
Yes, it is. Because graduation was yesterday.
Yes.
June 6th.
It's very nice outside today. It's almost, it's like mid-70s, high-70s. It's a nice day today. Yeah. I think it's a great time for a podcast.
Oh, no. You already know, Camille.
The book we're reading today is Tim O'Brien's The Things They Carried. This book is about the Vietnam War and what they go through during the war.
Yeah, the author talks about his experiences and, like, what his
soldiers.
Yeah, soldier buddies carried with them and, like, why it was important to them.
Yes. The book is, like, a collection of kind of short stories and, like, memories that he experienced, his friends experienced, and it kind of, even though they're not in the same time period or in the right time order, they all connect still in some way. I think that's nice.
Yeah, he tells it in a first person perspective, so we know, like, we know, like, what he's thinking and how he's feeling and how he sees things.
Yeah. The chapters are very interesting to read because they're all different. Some chapters could be like stories of his friends. Some chapters are first person. Some are now, or not now, but some were during that time period. Some were 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really interesting book to read.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, but do you think it's important?
I do think it's important.
Why?
I think the book gives, like, a new point of view for readers who may not have experienced the war or may not know much about wars in general. It kind of gives you more insight.
Yeah, I think it also affects people, you know, like, the way he describes things and what he says, it makes people think, like, did he really see that or did he really experience that?
Yes, yes. I think so, too. I think that really helps people understand kind of how normal those soldiers are. Like, they're normal people just like we are.
Mm-hmm.
They go through things, they feel things, they may be guilty sometimes or do the wrong things, but in the end, it's just like normal people. They are normal people.
Yeah, the soldiers are doing it for their country, you know, it's like their people, just like you said. So yes. Do you think this book is difficult for people or easy?
For me, it wasn't that difficult, but there were some difficulties when reading this book.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it was hard to kind of interpret what kind of emotions they were feeling, because during the war, you know, it's probably a lot going on through your brain, but they don't ever really talk about it. Well, they talk about it, but they don't talk about it to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you only kind of get Tim's perspective, and sometimes you don't even get that.
Yeah. I think maybe readers would have a problem, like, just being interested in it, just keeping their interest in it, because it gets confusing, so they might just get tired of it, or they might just feel threatened by how confusing the book is, so they might just, like, start daydreaming or, like, fall asleep or something.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they have to stay focused in order to understand what's happening in the book.
Yeah, and some people don't even like the Vietnam War, or they don't care about the war. So I think if you're, like, a student who didn't choose to read the book, and you're, like, forced to read it because if you have AP Lang or English 11 or mm-hmm. something like that, it can be difficult to keep it the interest.
Yeah, you should just give it a try, though. It's not difficult. Just stay focused.
Yeah, stay focused. At this time, we'll have a brief intermission for our sponsors. So, we'll be back soon.
You ever been in a situation where you didn't know what you wanted for dinner?
Yes.
And guess what? I have just a thing for you.
What?
Applebee's.
Wow.
Applebee's
is a great place. They serve great food, and there's always something for any type of person looking for something good to eat.
Yep, and they're quick. They have plenty of foods from wings to shrimp. You name it, it's there. And they have it to go. You can order it whenever, wherever.
Yeah. So, next time you're out looking for something to eat, think about getting Applebee's to go.
Eat good in the neighborhood. Thank you to Applebee's for sponsoring our podcast.
Thank you, Applebee's. Hello, guys. We're back.
So, why don't we get started on the book?
Yes. One of the chapters I found very impactful was chapter 1, actually. I think it kind of starts off the book as like...
basically an introduction.
Yes, it's like...
and it explains the title, you know? Chapter 1 is called The Things They Carry.
The Things They Carry.
Like the book. And in that chapter, they talk about the actual things they had with them.
Yeah.
Like, Lieutenant Jimmy Cross had a letter from Martha, who was his crush. And it obviously meant a lot to him because he kept it with him. He also received a pebble from Martha. And, I mean... and he kept it in his mouth. And, I mean, that's a weird place to keep a pebble, but, I mean, that just shows how important it was to him. Yeah, and it was also for good luck.
Yes, some of the men carried extra rations, like Henry Dobbins. He carried extra food with him because, you know, he's a big guy and he needs that extra bit of rations.
Mm-hmm. Some soldiers also carried other things to help ease the stress of the war, like drugs or other things. They had marijuana and dope, just, you know, things that would help relieve the stress, I guess. Even though when you're at war, you never really relax, but it just helped them stay a little calmer than usual.
Yeah. Some of the men carried religious things, like Kiowa. He carried a New Testament with him. It was a New Testament picture book, I believe. So it just kind of shows the physical things they carried with them to kind of help them out during the war. On page 18, there is a quote that I would really like to say because this part of the book was very important and very
impactful.
Yes. And the quote goes, "For the most part, they carried themselves with poise, a kind of dignity. Now and then, however, there were times of panic when they squealed or wanted to squeal but couldn't, when they twitched and made moaning sounds and covered their heads and said, 'Dear Jesus,' and flopped around on the earth and fired their weapons blindly, and cringed and sobbed and begged for the noise to stop, and went wild and made stupid promises to themselves and to God and to their mothers and fathers, hoping not to die. In different ways, it happened to all of them. Afterwards, when the firing ended, they would blink and peep up. They would touch their bodies, feel themselves feeling shame, then quickly hiding. They would force themselves to stand, as if in slow motion, frame by frame. The world would take on the old logic, absolute silence. Then the wind, the sunlight, then the voices. It was the burden of being alive. Awkwardly, the men would resemble themselves first in private, then in groups, becoming soldiers again. They would repair the leaks in their eyes. They would check for casualties, call in dust-offs, light cigarettes, try to smile, clear their eyes, clear their throats, and spit, and begin cleaning their weapons. After a time, someone would shake his head and say, 'No lie, I almost shit my pants.' And someone else would laugh, which meant it was bad, yes. But the guy had obviously not shit his pants. It wasn't that bad. And in any case, nobody would ever do such a thing as then to go ahead and talk about it."
And that's a very long quote.
Yes, it is a very long quote, but I think it's a very important quote because it shows that even though they're carrying all of these physical things, they carry their emotions with them.
Yeah, and like when you started reading it, even before you got really deep into the quote, it was already powerful. I mean, the things that he was saying was just very impactful, and it made you think, like, what they were going through.
Yes. It's like they go through so much, and then they just dust it off, and they don't talk about it.
Yeah. Speaking of not talking, Tim had done something similar to that in the chapter, in the next chapter that we were about to read.
Yes. This chapter is called The Man I Killed. In this chapter, Tim describes all of the physical characteristics of this man that he killed on a trail.
Mm-hmm. So, Tim describes all of the physical characteristics of the dead man, you know, slim, dainty, probably about 20 years old, with a star-shaped hole in his eye, probably from the grenade that was used to kill him. As he keeps talking about it, he keeps repeating it over and over again, as if it's the only thing he can remember.
Yes, I think it kind of was the only thing he could remember, because you're in a state of, like, shock, you know? Mm-hmm. Imagine just killing someone and seeing them right before your eyes. I know for me that would be a very traumatic experience.
Yeah.
I think that Kaiwa tried to help him a lot in this chapter by trying to, like, justify his actions. I think that the fact that he was there asking how Tim was doing, mm-hmm. saying, Tim, it's not your fault.
Just the fact that he was there for him, you know?
Yes.
Like in the quote on page 124. Hey, you're looking better, he said. No doubt about it. All you needed was time. Some mental R&R. Then he said, man, I'm sorry. Then he later said, why not talk about it? Then he said, come on, man, talk. He was a slim, dead, dainty man. Almost dainty man of about 20. He lay with one leg bent beneath him, his jaw in his throat, his face neither expressive or inexpressive. One eye was shut, the other was a star-shaped hole. Talk, Kaiwa said.
I think that quote from that chapter was very important, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of shows how much Tim really is affected by that.
Yeah. But also shows how nice Kaiwa was. Kaiwa or Kiowa?
I think it's Kaiwa. I'm honestly not sure how to pronounce it. Sorry for any of you fans out there that know the correct pronunciation and maybe yelling through your phones right now.
Or cringing at how we're pronouncing it.
But yeah, I think Kaiwa did try to help a lot, and that was very nice of him.
Yeah.
So
the next chapter is called Ambush, chapter 13, right after chapter 12.
Yes.
And this one is, the setting is more in the future, 20 years after the war.
His daughter says that he obsesses about the war because he must have killed someone there.
Mm.
And I think that she may know or may have a feeling, because this isn't the first book that he's written about the war.
Mm-hmm.
There are several books that he has written. Yes.
Yeah, and he pretends that his daughter is an adult.
Yes, he kind of reminisces or...
Reminisce in the memories.
Yeah, reminisces and kind of envisions his daughter at an age where he can actually talk to her, you know what I mean? I think that him describing this dead man again in this chapter really shows how much it stayed with him 20 years later, still being able to describe exactly this man.
Yeah, I mean, that just shows that the image is just embedded into his brain, you know? It's all he can remember. Obviously, it's all he can think about, even though it's 20 years later. Things like this don't really just, like, go in the wind, you know?
Yeah. I think the fact that in this chapter he kind of says, he told his daughter that he never killed anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I didn't tell a lie. But then he also says that he has killed someone. So that was very interesting for me to read, because it was kind of like him battling himself.
Yeah. And he feels guilty that the young man died. You know, sometimes he envisioned, like, what would have happened if he was still alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, an example of that is on page 128, chapter 13. even now, I haven't finished sorting it out. Sometimes I forgive myself, other times I don't. In the ordinary hours of life, I try not to dwell on it, but now and then, when I'm reading a newspaper or just sitting alone in a room, I'll look up and see the young man step out of the morning fog. I'll watch him walk toward me, his shoulders slightly stooped, his head cocked to the side, and he'll pass within a few yards of me and suddenly smile at some secret thought, and then continue up the trail to where it bends back into the fog.
That was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like him
just thinking about the aftermath.
Yeah, thinking about it and still having it like haunt him, kind of.
Yeah. He obviously feels bad.
Yeah.
And he wonders like what would have happened if he hadn't died, if he hadn't killed him, but there's no guarantee that no one else would have killed him.
That's true. So Kaiwa did say in the previous chapter that we all had our targets on him, so it's not like he would have lived. I feel like if Tim would think about that part more, he would feel less guilty about what he did.
Yeah.
I
think it's very emotional for him as well.
Yeah, I think it is. I think that this book is kind of a coping
mechanism.
Yeah, a coping mechanism for him, and a way to help him relieve some of the guilt by telling everyone.
Yeah, because it was still painful to him.
Yeah, a very sore topic in his life.
Yeah.
I think that this book is very important. All of the chapters, as you know, are really, really different.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all connected.
Yeah.
I think that's why this book is so important, you know?
So what would your advice be for people that want to read this book?
I think for people who want to read this book, for starters, know that if you are reading a book, not just this book, any book at all, don't be tired or sleepy and try and read a book, because you're not going to retain anything and you're not going to be able to remember. So I think the first piece of advice is to just try and be energized, or at least get some type of caffeine if you're tired, and just read it when you're awake.
Yeah, you know, usually reading when you're sleepy helps you fall asleep.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be a good idea, but talking out loud while you're reading might be a good idea, because it'll keep you alert. Yes. It'll keep you awake and aware of what's happening in the book.
And I know sometimes people say reading aloud helps you remember more. Mm-hmm. So if you are taking an AP class, or if you're reading it for English class, reading it aloud might help you for those quizzes, you mm-hmm. know, you right. know. Also, something that's like, if you feel kind of bored of the book, reading it with a friend or reading it with someone else will help you move along faster. It's kind of like when you're in a class and you're like, oh my gosh, where did the time go?
Yeah.
Because you're having, I don't know, I wouldn't say fun, because some people might not think reading is fun, but it helps
time
go by and mm-hmm. helps the chapters go by quicker.
Yeah, and I think when you read with someone else, it gives you another person to talk with. You know, you can talk about what happened in the book mm-hmm. and just discuss, like, what your thoughts were about it.
Yeah, you can kind of bounce ideas back off of each other and kind of get feedback on your thoughts and their thoughts.
And, like, come up with, like, theories, or why he used, like, this rhetorical strategy to say this.
Yeah. I think another piece of advice is to use an audiobook if you don't feel like reading aloud, if you're that lazy, or if you don't have someone else to read with. Listening to an audiobook, or even like a YouTube video on someone else reading the book, it may not be like professional, but doing that will help you stay alert, stay focused, and kind of remember.
Yeah, and you can multitask. You know, you can listen to it while you're washing the dishes, or like when you're brushing your teeth or something. You don't have to like drop everything to pick a book up.
Yeah. And even if you do listen to it and you still want to read the book, you can be following along and have like a fake friend there to read with you.
I was going to say it'll be like reading in class or something.
Yeah. I think that was some good advice you gave out there, Milo.
Thanks. You too, Camille. needless to say, this was an amazing book to read, you know?
Yes, this was a very impactful book. And I think that even in the future, I'm going to remember this book for something in my life. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the Vietnam War or just the people in the book.
Yeah.
It's very interesting and very impactful.
Yeah, you might use it to, like, reference your life or something. If something happens that's, like, similar to the book, you know, like, you pretend your daughter was an adult, you know, just to tell her, like, wash dishes or something, you know?
Yeah. Or if maybe if we will have a war in the future. I'm not hoping we do anytime soon or anytime in the future. Mm-mm. But we might go back to this book in, like, 50 years as one of the classics.
Yeah.
I think that was a really good podcast today, Myla. How do you feel?
I think it was very deep and it was very powerful, you know?
Yes.
Our other podcasts were just us ranting, but this one was actually, it's like we actually put some thought into it, you know, like we actually said what we felt.
Yes. I think that
we'll just wrap this episode up.
Yes. This has been
Keeping It 50
with Cammy and Mai.
So thank you for watching.
Goodbye, guys.
Bye.